Good morning. And welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to know that from our hearts to yours, that we are happy and glad that you are here with us, worshiping our Lord and Savior in spirit and in truth. And in any time that you are able to come out to worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, it is our prayer that you do just that. And to the saints here, let me say to you, what a beautiful, blessed day it is to be in the house of the Lord. You all didn't understand how good y'all sounded this morning. I mean, it almost brought tears to my eyes. Can you imagine what it will be like when we make it to heaven? Oh, my goodness, you all sounded wonderful this morning. That means that we have to get all everybody that's here this morning and come back again next Sunday. Amen. Amen. All right, with that being said, to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us be reminded to keep the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ is to continue to have a zeal and a desire for God's word. Not only that, but have a love for one another as Christ also loved us. And when it's all said and done, having a mind to work, being able to do the will of God in his kingdom, being about our Father's business. And I want you to know, no matter what, through the ups and downs that we go through, that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. If you're visiting with us this morning, our theme for the 2022 year is a mind to work. And these lessons have been centered around believers setting our sights on working for the Lord in his kingdom, the church. And as we discuss new lessons every first Sunday of the month from this theme, I like to remind us of the previous lesson titles that so that we can reflect on the lessons that survey the changes that I'm prayerful that we are making to become better servants in God's kingdom. My prayer is that we all should be growing. Amen. And if you weren't busy working in the kingdom prior to us getting into this theme, a mind to work, my prayer is that these lessons have made us aware of where we might be lacking and be encouraged to get busy being about our Father's business. And if you have been working well and you have been doing that and you do have a mind to work, let's keep up the good work. But I want to remind you that there is so much more work to be done. I don't ever want us to get complacent or believe that the work is finished. The work will never be finished until our Savior returns. And so I want to remind you of the lessons that we have so far discussed for our 2022 theme, A Mind to Work. The first one was A Mind to Work. And then the second one was, Here I Am, Send Me. I am making myself available to do your will in your kingdom. And once we all have made our minds up that here I am, send me, we need to be unified as a team, as a unified front, doing God's will in his kingdom. But we all know that once we do that, that the enemy gets upset. The hater that we know him to be gets upset, and we discuss when the enemy attacks. Then once that happens, we have to remember who our Lord and Savior is, how powerful our God is. So we go to him, and we lean on each other to be revived again. And as we are revived, we would have a mind to work and with a vision, a goal in mind to achieve in God's kingdom. And alongside of that, we need to have great expectations. And this morning, we will talk about something very important, something that we talk about all the time, but I want to remind us the importance of prayer. So this morning's lesson title will be Prayer, the Underrated Prelude to Power. Prayer, the Underrated Prelude to Power. Prayer is, for the most part, talked about more than anything else and practiced less than anything else. And yet for the believer, it remains one of the greatest and most powerful gifts our Lord has given us outside of salvation. Many times, due to its seldom application, it is labeled as an underrated gift from God to man. But the question is, what makes prayer so powerful? Is it some magical formula, perhaps? Or is it special words uttered? Is the power in the person praying the prayer? Now, I've heard some beautiful prayers in my lifetime, and no matter how perfect the words are or how eloquently they are spoken, none of these things bring power to our prayers. So, who or what in the prayer equation makes prayer so powerful? Well, I want you to know that the power resides in God the Father, who is the object of our prayers. He alone, saints, is the source. And we can all understand the concept of electricity, right? In order for things to work, there must be a source from which the power flows. Amen? And prayer is like electricity because it connects us to the source of that power, which is God. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, looking at verse 16, the infallible word of God says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Here the Hebrew writer informs the reader of the superiority of Jesus the Christ, who is our high priest, and urges them to follow him closely. See, the author explains that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, which is one of the most incredibly gracious invitations the world has ever received. Drawing near to the throne of grace is a reflection of something very powerful, our faith. The other thing is that we trust in him. We trust him that at his throne, we would obtain the very things that we need in this life to survive. So we live for him and we serve him for that reason, because we love him and we have faith. Remember, I did a sermon on love and devotion when it pertains to our brethren. But we have to have a love for prayer and to be devoted to God as the deliverer of that prayer. Do you realize the power that we have available to us is when we go to the Father in prayer? The reason that I know this is true, because here at the South Fair Church of Christ, and you know this to be true, when we pray and we are fervently praying, when we are praying like we should, God answers our prayers. You can't tell me they didn't answer our prayers. I know a prayer that my sister had prayed that for a while that it would be more, it would be a plethora of ethnicities. It would be different people from all walks of life being members at the South Fayette Church of Christ, and look what God has done. There have been times where we have members who have been sick, who are on their sick beds, not knowing what the end result would be. And we have them today that is here, walking, breathing, functioning like they should because of prayer. During COVID, you would think that we would diminish in our attendance. We would diminish in people placing membership. But because of prayer, look at where we are here at the South Fayette Church of Christ. When we talk about prayer, we have individuals coming from all walks of life to visit here, to worship with us in spirit and truth because of prayer. When you believe in the power of prayer, that you understand that it changes things. See, if we really believed in that, we would be praying in Jesus' name so much more. When you really think about the power of prayer, you would do it more than just at dinner time. You would do it more than just when your kids are going to bed and when you are going to bed. Prayer would be the thing that you do, the way that you breathe each and every day. It is a primary function in your life that you need in order to operate properly. There would be no such thing as doubt and fear if we prayed like we should. If we were on our faces before God like we should, we would be unstoppable. Let me tell you, so when you're on your faces and you storm in the heavenly realms and battle with the darkness and the evil forces in our world that we're dealing with, we will be unstoppable. Do you believe we can go to him in prayer? Because if you do, then you understand that you have access to power. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 2 through 6. That's Colossians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 2 through 6. And here is where Paul was somebody who understood prayer and its power. Prayer was an integral part of Paul's life, and it should be an integral part for us as well. Prayer is the pipeline of communication between God and his people, between God and those who love him. And the infallible word of God reads this. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. If you want to see power in prayer, you need to pray first and foremost with persistence. That's my first point. Pray with persistence. You know, when I talked about that, when we have a communication between God and his people, it's a way for us to communicate with God, right? When you have a relationship with someone, what do? You check in with them, don't you? There's not a parent in here who has a child that's off to college, or a parent in here whose child is somewhere over somebody's house. You call to check in with them. You check up with them. People that you love, you give them updates of what you're doing and what's happening in your life. The same way we do that with other people, we have to check in with our Heavenly Father. We have to give him updates on what's going on in our lives. We have to brief him on what our struggles are, the areas in which we want to excel in, and what we need from him. Now, we understand that when it comes to that, but for some reason, we don't check in with the Father like we should. For some reason, we don't give him updates like we should. So therefore, I'm telling you that we need to pray with persistence. We need to be persistent in our prayer. Paul begins by saying, devote yourselves to prayer. When you continually earnestly in prayer, right? And the original language says continually steadfast in prayer. The word translated continue steadfastly means in the original to persist in, right? To adhere firmly to, or to remain devoted to, or give a unremittent care to. That is the idea that we need to have when it comes to prayer. We need to be dedicated. I understand this. Look, when we're connected to God, right? No matter what happens, the only thing that can disconnect us from God is our sin or our unwillingness to be connected to him. Now, I know this, when it storms, right? And I understand it's about power, especially here in Fayetteville. Whenever it starts to storm and lightning strikes, the power goes out. every time, especially in my area, the power goes out or the connection, right, whether you got Xfinity or Direct, your cable or your internet, either goes out or it functions slowly. Now, that's being connected to a source. But even during storms, you have issues. But when you're connected to God and He is the power source, it doesn't matter what storm comes your way. It doesn't matter what type of winds may blow. It don't matter what type of lightning or storms come your way. You will always be connected. And I can promise you, you won't have a slow process. When you pray to God, He will act in a manner in which it is on time all the time. So my point is this, instead of investing in putting your trust in Xfinity, you need to put your trust in prayer. I'll say that again. Instead of you putting your trust in Xfinity and your cable provider or your internet provider or your cell phone provider, you need to put your trust in God. When we talk about persistence, it carries this ideal of dedication. And one of the 10 times in it is used in the New Testament, four of them, it has to do with being devoted to prayer, right? And it's a very powerful word in the verse that's given as an imperative or command. I want you to understand this. In other words, persistence in prayer, saints, is not an option. When you talk about being a follower of Christ, a believer in Christ, there is not an option for the Christian, right, in order for him to go to the Lord. So here's what I'm saying. There is a requirement for the relationship. And that requirement is prayer. I've never known a relationship to go any further than it could without communication. I want one husband in here to raise his hand and say that he doesn't communicate with his wife properly and continuously, and they have a wonderful relationship. Go for it. Let me see. That's what I thought. There's not one man in here that can do that. There's not one woman in here who can do that. If you want a relationship that is functioning properly, you have to have communication. There is a requirement and not an option for us to communicate with God. And this command is to be continually, habitually devoted to communicating to God and with God. See, it's with this emphasis adding, right? Courageously being persistent in prayer or to hold fast to and not let go. I'm a firm believer in prayer, but what I can say is I know for a fact that we don't utilize it like we should. We trust in the power of ourselves and not the power of prayer. See, when you talk about being devoted to prayer, yeah, we're devoted to some things, but are we devoted to prayer? You're devoted to your husband. You're devoted to your wife. You're devoted to your friends. You're devoted to your job. You're devoted to all of that. You're devoted to Instagram. You're devoted to your phone that you can't let go. But are we devoted to prayer, the very thing that changes all the things that we deal with from day to day? See, the problem is we get so caught up in the day-to-day hustle and bustle, we forget about how we even have some hustle and bustle that comes from God. And we don't utilize prayer like we should. Prayer for every believer should be at the top of the list. It is how we communicate with the Father. While many believe sincerely, despite to spend time with God in prayer, it's only a few that actually do. I know we say it all the time. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna pray for you, brother. Oh, yeah, I go to church and I pray. But are we truly praying? I want you to think about the amount of time that you spend praying. Do you spend and dedicate purposefully a time for you to spend with God? The same way you dedicate time and set aside time to watch your favorite Netflix show, Go watch your favorite team play on. Football starting back up. Uh-huh. Yeah. And basketball, and you dedicate your time to go to the gym, and you dedicate your time to go to your favorite eateries and do all the extracurricular activities that you do. But do you set aside time devoted to your Father? It's sad, in fact, that many of God's people treat prayer like an emergency act in a glass box. That's how we treat prayer, right? You know help is there, but the only time we break the glass or open the box is in case of an emergency. And we treat our God this way. Right? We are saying, I don't need you except when I need you. I don't need you except when I make a mistake, I wait till the last minute, and now I need you. Lord, I've made some financial mistakes. Lord, can you fix it? I need you. It's an emergency because I was doing fine all by myself until... Lord, now I'm on my deathbed and I don't know what's going to happen. They telling me I'm dying of some type of disease and they can't cure it. Lord, I need you. Lord, my marriage is on the rocks, and I don't know what to do. Lord, I need you. My children have become wayward. Lord, I need you. See, we have to be at a place where we need him always. There's never not a time where we don't need him. There's never not a time where I don't want to talk to you. There's never not a time that I want to spend an intimate time with you conversating about my walk with you. God should not be used as our get out of jail free card or break the glass in case of emergency strategy. He should be the first and foremost on our minds at all times. You know, I often say, you hear me say it, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I don't know if it posted, but I did my weekend motivational talk to encourage you all towards the end of the week. And I just thought about it again. When we talk about fixing our eyes on Jesus, that's just not something we say, right? It's something we should really do. And I remember when I was in college, and I don't talk about this much because I wasn't that great. So that's probably why I don't bring it up. I talk about basketball because I played that, but the track thing, I tried to run track and it just wasn't my thing. I was pretty fast, but it wasn't my thing. But what I did learn in running track was, in order for me to have the best time, in order for me to get to the finish line in a manner in which I needed to, in the time in which I needed to get there, I had to keep my eyes fixed on the end goal. And what my problem was, every time I ran with my head down. I was looking down. And you know what that did? It slowed down. Up my time. It slowed up my process and my ability to run as fast as I possibly could, the way it was intended for me to run. Every time I looked to the left, every time I looked to the right, my body tended to follow where my eyes went. Follow me. Everywhere my eyes went, that's where my body went. That's where my mind went. That's what I started to fixate on. So what I'm saying is, when you're running the Christian race and you're not fixing your eyes on Jesus, which is the end goal, the moment you look to the left, which is the things of this world that we worried about, the times that you look to the right, when you're being pulled to this belief and that belief, when you're looking down and you're looking at sin, you tend to follow and focus on those things. But when you fix your eyes on Jesus, you can get to the end goal in record time. So let us be mindful that if we fix our eyes and put him first and foremost in everything we do, you don't have to worry about the left, the right, or how fast you're running, or whatever's going to happen that's around you. You will get to the end goal. You remember Peter, the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And that's exactly what happens to us when we're running the race. we begin to focus on those things that we don't need to focus on. I read a story the other day of a man who encountered a bit of trouble while flying his airplane. And what ended up happening is he called the control tower and said, pilot to tower, I'm 300 miles from the airport, 600 feet above ground, and I'm out of fuel. I am descending rapidly. Please advise. Over, tower to pilot. The dispatcher began to say this, repeat after me, our Father who art in heaven. At 300 miles from the airport, 600 feet from the ground, all this guy has is prayer. Seriously, though, how many times have we treated prayer like this in our lives as a last resort? He should have prayed when he got up that morning. He should have prayed before he got on the plane. He should have prayed while he was on the plane. And he should have been praying when he was landing the plane. But the only time that he thought about the Father is when it was no other choice. I had no other options left because I chose everything else first but you. We have to stop treating the most powerful gift and a way to communicate with our Father like a last resort. Most people only come and to church when life gets really rough. You know, the Lord teaching you some hard lessons. You hadn't just fallen down and bumped your head. You didn't skinned it to the white meat. You ever fell down and skinned it and it's white? That's when you really didn't hurt yourself. That's when you're really in some true pain. And it's only then that people want to give God the glory. It's only then when they want to recognize God as powerful to get them out of the situation that they're in. Prayer should not be our last result, but our constant companion. Prayer is so important for the believer because it is inviting God into our circumstances. It's inviting God into our hopes. It is trusting God with the things that we fear the most, that we're uncertain of. It's inviting God into our dreams. It's inviting God into our pain, our heartache, our broken hearts, our broken homes, the broken world that we live in. Prayer allows us to live rationally with God. You know, living rationally means that we can talk to God. We can also listen to God and think about God throughout our day. In other words, prayer is really something that we should implement in our everyday lives. We should pray about virtually every single thing. And we don't. We think that coming to church on Sunday and praying is enough. Coming on Bible study Wednesdays is enough. Again, over your meal, come and meal. When all you're probably saying is, thank you for this food that we're about to receive and bless the hands that prepared. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm talking about praying for every move that you make, every decision that's going to be had, praying over your children while they sleep, praying for your spouse, praying for your loved ones, praying for your family members, praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ, praying for the elders, praying for the deacons, praying for the preacher, praying for their wives, praying for the children, praying for the elderly, praying for the sick, praying for the South Fayette Church of Christ, praying for the Universal Church, thanking God for the Holy Spirit, thanking God for His Word being delivered to us, and the apostles wrote it down so that we can have a way to follow Him, a map to heaven, thanking Him and praying to Him constantly for all that He's done for us. And when we pray, we got to pray with passion. We got to pray with passion. You know, some folks just be praying, just, you know, it's just all money. Ain't no passion, ain't no zeal in it. You remember over in Luke, the physician recorded that sweat was like drops of blood. Now that's some prayer. That's truly some prayer. In Luke 22, verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. I've seen more people put more passion in singing songs and infomercials than they do prayer. If we are persistent in something, it stands to reason that we are passionate about it. Right? If you're going to be persistent, then you got to be passionate in it. If you come to every service, if you're praying all the time, you got to be passionate about that. In fact, Paul says that we should be vigilant or be watchful. It's the opposite of slothfulness. We're slothful in our prayer lives. We're lazy in our prayer lives. If we did a survey, it probably would say that most people that begin prayers before they fall asleep probably fall asleep praying. Sometimes you got to turn off all the foolishness, all the noise. Turn off the news. Turn off your phones. Turn off the radio and spend time praying with God and pray passionately. This passion is the great example for us, the prayer life that Christ had. You can't tell me somebody, if you ever been stressed out like Christ, how many of y'all going to the cross today? How many of y'all are dying for this world today? You want to talk about pressure. You want to talk about some stuff on your mind, on your heart, preaching the truth to people who will not receive it, who will not change. And he prayed with passion. And it was not only his regular habit, but it was his result in every emergency, however slight or serious, it was about prayer. Let me give you an example. When he was perplexed, right? He prayed. When he was hard stressed, right? And he was pressed, he prayed. When he was hungry, and he wanted fellowship, he found that in prayer. Sometimes you don't need to be with folks. Sometimes you get all brokenhearted because ain't nobody around you. You don't need to worry about that. You need to just be worried about having fellowship and being connected with God in prayer. I heard somebody say this a while back, and it was probably one of the greatest things I ever heard. They said that just because it's dark doesn't mean you're buried. It means possibly you're planted. When he was criticized, he prayed. When he was tempted, he prayed. When he was fatigued in the body or wearied in spirit, he had a resource, and that was prayer. When he was fatigued in the body, he had nothing left. He prayed. Prayer brought him unmeasured power at the beginning and kept the flow unbroken and undiminished. There was no emergency, no difficulty, no necessity, no temptation that would yield to prayer. Nothing. And a life that is lived in a passionate prayer will enable us saints to maintain the spirit even in the most difficult circumstances. I know somebody here today is going through a difficult time, and what you need to do is pray. But I'm going to tell you something very important that you need to understand about prayer. Jesus always prayed with passion because he knew it was the Father he was talking to. See, it's one thing to ask your friends to do something. It's one thing to ask a coworker or your neighbor to do something. It might or might not happen. But when you pray passionately to the Father, the way that Jesus knew who he was praying to is a powerful thing. And I believe we take that lightly. You ain't just asking some regular person to fix a problem or to come into your life to mend a broken heart or to forgive you of some sins that you've committed or some things you're battling and struggling with. You're talking to the Father, the most powerful God. But one of the things I notice why people don't pray like they should, and I want you to hear me good, saints, is because you got to be in position to pray. to see the power of God work in your lives and in others. Do you understand what I mean by being in the position to pray? See, most of us don't pray because we ain't in position to pray. And what I'm saying is because you got sin in your life. You don't feel worthy. So therefore, you don't talk to God because you know that there are some things that aren't right. You got to be in position to pray. Case in point, you got to have a relationship with God in a position of righteousness, in a position of I am loving and following you. So when you go to the bank to ask for money, do you go with a 300 credit score and think they're going to give you some money? I guess don't nobody go to the bank. I said, do you go to the bank with a 300 credit score and ask them to borrow some money and think they're going to give it to you? The answer is no, denied. We can't help you. You might need to go somewhere else, but we can't do that. You know why? Because you're not in good standing with them. You don't have credit with them. So what I'm saying is when you don't have credibility with God because you're not living the way that you're supposed to, access denied. But when you have good credit with God, because you realize that you ain't in good standings and you're willing to confess your faults one to another. You're willing to say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Father, I want to position myself to be in your good graces. I am willing to humble myself. I'm willing to give it all away. I'm putting it before you and I trust you with it all. Now you're putting yourself in position for your prayers to be heard so that you can see the power of prayer working in your life. Over in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it's working. The qualification for you to have good credit is righteousness. And most of us don't pray like we should because we ain't righteous, because we have sin in our lives. And you've told yourself and bought into that lie that God don't want to hear from you from the enemy. He tells you that it ain't no need of praying now. You can depend on the government. You can depend on your boo and your boyfriends and your family members. But don't depend on God. He don't want to have nothing to do with you because you're a filthy sinner. When all you got to do is humble yourself, not be proud, and say, Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me of this thing that I have done that separates me from you. I want you to come back into my life. I want to be connected to you again so that I can see you working in my life. I miss our relationship. I miss being connected to you. That's why I'm praying to you, because I need you. Did you hear that? The power of the righteous person has great power. So when you feel like your prayers ain't getting answered, maybe you need to look at the man and the woman in the mirror and check yourself. And let me be clear, it ain't always the obvious things. So it ain't got to just be smoking and drinking and being promiscuous and stealing and killing folks. I'm talking about people who have bitterness in their heart. I'm talking about people who have an alt against their brother. And you come up in here and sit up in this church and act like you ain't got nothing going on because you look good in your suit, but you know you got hatred in your heart. That ain't righteous at all. I'm talking about the small sins, the big sins. You want to categorize it however, from 1 to 10, wherever you live. Wherever your number is, you need to fix it. I'm a firm believer that when things ain't getting done in God's kingdom with his people around, it's sin in the camp, and we got to fix that. We got to stop being proud and start being prayerful so God can change the things that are happening in our lives. So to be effective, we must come to God as clean vessels seeking to please him in all respects. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, it says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So it ain't that God is slow to take care of whatever you got going on. You slow to change your heart and your perspective on how you ought to be living Christ-like. And last, I want you to know, that we got to pray with thankfulness. Philippians 4 and verse 6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tell us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Listen, the most important thing that we can do when we pray and getting in the mindset of is that we got to begin expressing gratitude, because expressing gratitude does several things. The first thing that it does is it articulates dependence upon him. I depend on you. I'm coming to you as the resource, my primary resource, my primary one that I need to be with. Second of all, it demonstrates a relationship. I only want to be with you. I only trust you. I'm giving you my heart. I'm trusting you with everything that I have. I'm putting it in your hands. And the third thing it does is it communicates gratitude and the proper attitude to say that, Lord, I thank you for what you've done, because I know that I didn't do this on my own. And lastly, it generates humility. It generates humility when you can get on your knees in a prostrate position and be thankful and pray to God for what he has done for you. Not what you have done for yourself or what somebody else you think has done for you. God, what you have done for me. There are dozens of real life accounts in the Bible where Jesus and the other disciples battled in prayer. God shut the heavens and prevented rain from falling for 3 years at Elijah's request. And you're saying that he won't do something for you? We've seen him do things that were unimaginable. Let me tell you something. He parted the Red Seas for Moses. What do you think he would do for you if you're righteous enough? Your heart is clean. You're passionate in prayer. You're persistent in it. What will he not do for you? He cast out demons. Jesus healed the sick and gave sight to the blind for prayer on more than one occasion. What do you think he will do for you? Even rose people from the dead like Lazarus. What do you think he would do for you? Listen, having a mind to work includes a consistent prayer life. Prayer is an act of worship that glorifies God, and it reinforces our need for him and our faith in him. See, through the living and the life of prayer, we communicate with the very source and the purpose for our existence. It is our fiercest weapon. You can loose and bind things with prayer. Your wayward children can come back home through prayer. Broken marriages can be mended through prayer. You being in financial ruin can be fixed through prayer. You not living a life according to God's will can be fixed through prayer. If our fiercest weapon against the enemy is prayer and we don't use it, we will be exactly where we are today, dealing with the things that we're dealing with today. So the question I have for you in closing is, what does your prayer life look like this morning? Are you persistent in prayer? Are your prayers passionate? Are they filled with intensity and fervor? Or are they timid and are they lacking faith? What about our gratitude? How much time have you spent thanking God for all he has done or what he has already done? Is there a burden on your heart to see God's kingdom expand? To see his will be done? Are you one of the people who argue up and down about what the Bible says and whether or not it's true and being one of these conspiracy theorists? Or do you truly trust in the power of God? Because I'm going to tell you something. The power is not in us. It's in our great creator. So I want to tell you this morning with all love in my heart and encouragement for you to bring your burdens to him. Bring all your cares, all your concerns, all the tears you've cried, all the times your heart has been broken, every time a promise has been made, every time somebody hasn't followed through. I'm telling you now to trust those things with the great deliverer. trust those things with the almighty, powerful God. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you're willing to give your life away, give yourself away to him and live for him because he died for you, you can do so this morning. Being buried in water, rising up a new creature, starting that journey, running that race, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, you can do so this morning. And if you are a Christian and you have become wayward, you are battling some things, you are struggling in the flesh, you're battling in the mind, your spirit is not where it needs to be, your prayer life is not where it needs to be, your relationships with your brothers and sisters aren't where they need to be. And I don't care if your sin is lying or stealing. I don't care if it's big or small. You need to make it right with God so that he can hear your prayers. Position yourself to be in the right relationship with God. You can do so this morning as together we stand and we sing.